He's learning Shabbi Lila Nishmas Ben Sion, Ben Baruch Marcha, as Yurt says, Baibiyim. Mr. Shemit's family should continue doing great things on behalf of his neshama and ultimately ensure that his neshama has an aliyah on the Yurt today. Parashas Truma is one of those parashas which I think are almost always read before Purim. Although sometimes the Gemara makes a comment or the Rishani make a comment why are certain parashas read at specific times, as far as I know, there's no comment made by Chazal. I'd like to suggest my own comment of why is parashas Truma frequently, if not always, read before Purim, is because it's a great parasha to read if you're going to go collecting or fundraising. It's a terrific parasha to get some good vorts if you want to go get money out of people, especially this time of the year, Purim time, people go collecting, yeshivas, meisters. Great parasha before fundraising is parashas Truma. The whole idea of the parasha, or a good bulk of the parasha, discusses the concept of fundraising. How exactly to get people to give money, the idea of giving money and building something, is really most of the theme of parashas Truma. Therefore, I think it's very appropriate that it's always read this time of the year, when many people spend a lot of time and effort trying to collect money this time of the year, and that's why I think parashas Truma is read this time of the year. In the beginning of the parasha, the Torah opens up with a very strange comment. It says, tell the Jewish people, v'yikhuli, they should take a truma. So the obvious kash that everyone asks, you're not taking a truma, you're giving a truma. The Torah Shed wrote, giving a truma. So there are many terutzim given. I believe the simplest answer is that when we give to worthy organizations, as much as we think we're giving, we're really taking. When a person partners with something that's important, whether it be Torah or other organizations, that need either their financial help, or their physical, or their time, or their chachma and das. Many organizations don't always want people's money. They just want to hear sometimes their advice, sometimes their connections, sometimes how they do things. So when a person donates and devotes his time to an organization, although it looks like he's the one who's giving, he's obviously giving up his time, his money, his energy, but ultimately the Torah is telling us you take more than you give. When a person's giving on gives to a worthy organization, whether it be like in the Torah's case, giving to the Mishkan, or today what we have today is the Mishkan Ma'at, our small bate mishkanos, which is Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses, the Sforno writes that the only reason why we even needed a mishkan was because Klal Yisrael sinned the Chetah Egel. If we would have never sinned the Chetah Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence would be able just to be everywhere. He wouldn't need to have to designate one specific place for the Ashras HaShchinah. Therefore, says the Mefarshim, now that we lost that, we don't even have a Beis HaMikdash, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechinah is even in a smaller place. It's now in our what's called our Beis HaMikdash Mat, in our shuls and in our yeshivas, places of Torah study or davening. So when people give money to these organizations, these types of things, they're not really giving, they're really taking. They get to be part of something which is so special, so valuable, and therefore the Torah tells us that when you give, you're really taking more than you're really giving. But Rashi tells us a very important condition to giving to the Mishkan was li lishmi. All the giving that a person gave in the Mishkan had to be lishma, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chaim Shmulevitz writes something in one of his Svarim. He says that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who merited to build the Beis HaMikdash, not his father David. Why not? Why didn't David merit to build the Beis HaMikdash? So he says, because David HaMelech was a Baal Melchoma. David HaMelech fought a lot of wars, and Shlomo didn't fight wars. So why does that answer the question? So Chaim Shmulevitz writes, because David HaMelech known if he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, and part of the koyach of the Beis HaMikdash would have been to be able to ensure you win battles. So if David HaMelech, who was a Baal Melchoma, he was prone to going to war, if he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, there would have been a little bit of inkling of Shaloi Lishma. Again, even though the battles and the wars weren't for David's honor, it was for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Klal Yisrael, but therefore says Chaim Shmulevitz, that would have been a breach in Lishma. Shlomo HaMelech didn't fight so many wars, so he could build the Beis HaMikdash. So he points out, Chaim Shmulevitz, you see, how far does this idea go? That when a person gives money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Mishkan, it had to be completely lishma, that even David HaMelech, who wanted to win wars for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of Am Yisrael, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pride, he also could not have given, partaken in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash with a complete heart. It would have been a breach in lishma, and therefore it only came about through his son Shlomo. We also find in this week's parasha, the Aron. And the Ramban points out in all the Klei HaMishkan, there's something unique about the Aron. When the Torah describes the Aron, it says, V'asu, Lashon plural. Everything else is singular. Why is the Aron plural? So the Ramban and the Chafetz Chaim, many others discuss this idea that the Aron represents Torah. Torah is not a private entity. It's not a few groups of people have a connection to Torah, and the rest of us sit on the sides and watch it. Says the Torah, V'asu, all of us have to have a chelik, and we do have a chelik in Torah. V'asu, it's a plural. It's not just that three, four people learn Torah and the rest of us sit on the side and we congratulate them and we watch with awe. No, we all have to be involved in Torah. The Chafetz Chaim, the story goes that the Chafetz Chaim was once trying to build money for a yeshiva and one donor said, I'll give you all the money you need, stop collecting. The Chafetz Chaim said, no, thank you. A rare occurrence today. Chafetz Chaim said, no, thank you. Why? He said, because I want everyone to be mishtatif in the Torah. If you give all the money, so where's everyone else? This guy's going to have no chelik in Torah. Everyone has to have a chelik in Torah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's this week's parasha. V'yasur aroin. The aron has to be a procedure that is done by the tzibur, by the mass. It can't be done by individuals because Torah is not something for individuals. Torah is for all of us. And the Chafetz Chaim discusses at length this idea that we all have to have a chelik in Torah. Whether we learn it, whether we support it, whether we endorse it, however it may come, but we all have to have some form of a chelik in the Torah, because if we don't have a chelik in the Torah, it's not just that we're missing a part of our life, we're missing our life completely. That is the essence of Torah in our lives. And the Mefarshim point out, Yaakov Kamenetsky and others point out, another interesting pasuk. When the Torah discusses the Badim, the Torah says, the Tabois al Talois Aron, Loseis is Aron. They are there to hold up the Aron. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, this refers to those who support Torah, those who hold up Torah. That means that those who support Torah, he has the exact same chelek as those who learn the Torah. And then he quotes the end of the pasuk. Lo yosuru mimenu. They will never be removed. Says Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, from this pasuk, you see that the direct connection between the Loimdei Torah and what he calls the Machzikei HaTorah, those who support Torah, those who hold up the Torah, just like the Badim held up the Aron in the Mishkan, those that hold up Torah are Lo Yasur Mimenu. They will never be removed. Their connection that they have to Torah stays forever. And we said over many times the story, I heard it once, originally for Hirsha Shechta, I recently saw it in a Sefer, but the Blazer tells her. Blazer Telzer was the Rav of Telz and ultimately opened up the Telzer Yeshiva. So when he got married, his in-laws, thank you so much, his in-laws said they were going to support him. So after a few years of learning in Kailul, his mother-in-law said to his father, okay, shine sight, you know, he's got to be on his own. And he started looking for jobs. And obviously he was a talented fellow and he was offered many rabbinic positions, but his father-in-law kept on saying, you know, no, don't take the job. Stay a little longer in Kailul. Few more years, few more kids probably. The same conversation happened to his mother-in-law and his father-in-law. And his mother-in-law said, that's it. Let them get a job and live on their own. The father-in-law said, no, I don't want to do it. I want to continue supporting him. And the mother-in-law asked the father-in-law, well, why are you so convinced to continue supporting them? So his response there was, maybe he's supporting me, not that I'm supporting him. That was the comment. He said to his wife, how do you know that the reason why we're alive today is because we're being Machzik Torah? How do you know? So his wife said, you know, whatever. A few years later, finally, the next real job came about. He was ready to take it. And he told his in-laws, I'm taking the job. He was getting ready the morning to leave the city, leave his parents' in-law's house, packs up his bag. He's waiting for his father-in-law to come home from shul to say goodbye. His father-in-law walks through the door. Mamish has a heart attack, dies right then and there. And his wife starts screaming, he was right. He was right the whole time. Really, he wasn't support. We weren't supporting him. Says, Blazer tells her it was really the reverse. He was supporting his in-laws. So Rav Shechter discusses this idea that in Machzik, Hachzokas HaTayr, many times when we support Tayr, we don't know which way is it going. So says the Achrein in this part, Lo Yasuru Mimenu, they'll never be removed. The Hachzokas HaTayr role in Tayr is so integral, it will never be removed. Therefore, says the Torah, those who carry the Aron, those that are Machziki HaTorah, they play an essential and integral role in the actual Torah itself. There's a very interesting Machloikish Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses this at length in Nechas Asher. Machloikish Rishonim, what was the purpose of the Mishkan, or the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? What was its purpose? What was it there to serve? So the Ramban is of the opinion, he takes the literal reading of the Pasuk, that it was there to have a place of Hashruas HaShchinah. The purpose of the Mishkan was to be a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, so to say, lahavdil, hang out, to be able to be Mashri HaShchinah, one specific place. The Rambam writes that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to serve Kabbanis. That was the tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash, was to be able to serve Kabbanis. So many Achreinim say, I think Rabbi Asher Weiss says it also, he says it, he has a lengthy discussion this in the Chasash and Ashik's Parsha, a very interesting Machloikish Mishayim that Atali Zeh Bezeh. As the Machloikis was showing between the Rambam and the Ramban, if the other Kalim in the Mishkan were also part of the mitzvah to build them. We know there was a mitzvah say to build the Mishkan. Was there a mitzvah say to build all the other Klei HaMishkan? So it happens to be Machloikis, Rambam, and the Ramban. So many Achreinim want to say it's totally Zebizet. If you held that the purpose of the Mishkan was just for her place for Ashras HaShchina, so then the rest of the Kalim weren't really the Iker. That was just a Toitzah. So therefore the Ramban L'shita say does not count it as one of the mitzvah. Mashaik, according to the Rambam, the whole purpose of the Mishkan was to bring Karbonis. So all those things that are related with Karbonis were what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. Therefore they do become a mitzvah sase. So that's why the Rambam L'shita say counts the Kalim as a mitzvah, while the Ramban L'shita say does not count the Kalim as one of the mitzvahs. Rashi tells us that where did they get this wood to build the Aron? Atzei Shittim, where did they find wood in the desert? That'd be a pretty big miracle to find wood in the desert. So Rashi tells us that this was the wood that Yaakov Avinu brought. He told them, take this wood with you and take it with you through Kriyas Yam, so they take it to Mitzrayim. We're going to need this wood one day. So the main question that many people ask is, why is it so important to take that wood? Because Baruch Hu could have made a Moifes, so we could have had wood in the Midbar. Why do we have to schlep this wood with us? So Rabbi Yo Baruch Finkel says, because to build the Mishkan, we needed to have what we call today's chosavis. We had to have that connection to the previous generation. That effort and toil that the previous generation put in to ensure that Klal Yisrael continues, we need that for every major project. So therefore, we had to take all that they built, those that wood that they planted and that they put into it, and they had that mesiras nefesh that they had in the previous generations, we build on that. We take from that, and we continue with it for the next generation. It's not just that we start something new, as if we're creating something geish miayin. Everything that we have, we build it on previous generations. The first Satmar Rebbe was Moshe Teitelbaum. Now, he wasn't really Chassidish. He was Be'emes HaLitvisha. He was turned Chassidish, because what happened was his son-in-law was Chassidish. And his son-in-law slept him into Chassidus, and he became Chassidish. Rav Shechter always says, he says, I don't know. I met a lot of Chassidish Rebbe. None of them excited me so much that made me want to be Chassidish. He said, maybe if I meet one that really blew me away, I'd also become Chassidish. He never met any Rebbes that made him want to become Chassidish. But that was the story with the Satmar Rebbe. The first Satmar Rebbe, he became Chassidish. So once he became Chassidish, so he obviously his time of learning took a little bit of a hit, and he was much more involved with Tzorchei Rabbim. So people used to come to him, and they would ask him to daven, and he would tell them, listen, it's not my tefillas. It's Schos Avis. It's not about me. I'm doing nothing. I'm all using the Schos Avis. I'm always using whatever the Zaydis did. I'm just pulling. I'm using that to build for the next generation. So this idea is a true idea. Chazal are telling us that we bedavka use the wood that were planted in the time of Yaakov Avinu to build the Mishkan, to really think about this idea that everything is really building from what our parents, grandparents, previous generations, the Mishkan Nefesh, that they instilled into their Avodas HaKadosh, that really passes us to our serving HaKadosh Baruch. Yeah, 100%. Correct. That's right. Yeah, 100%.
I think Rabbi, I heard yesterday. Rabbi Fran tells a story. This is a true story about this National Geographic reporter who's Jewish, but he didn't really have any past like sixth grade, and they dropped him in yeshiva, and he became not broke. But the one thing he did every year is he would say Kaddish for his father. That was the one connection he had. Otherwise, he didn't have any connection. So he was in the northern part of Scotland or England. And they were excavating. He was doing a show on the excavation of the Herodian wall that extended all the way from the Roman Empire. That was like the northernmost reach of Hadrian's Wall. So it came time he has Yortzeit. So he had a minion. So he actually ended up in Gateshead, which was 2 hours away. And he went to say Kaddish. And he said he got there a few minutes early, and they were sitting and learning. This was in the 60s. And they were sitting and learning, and there was just one long piece of wood table, and that's what they were learning on. And he was later interviewed, and he said that, I realized I came to explore Hadrian's Wall, which is nothing left of the Roman Empire except for some buried rocks. But here, this wooden table. Oh, and he tried to destroy Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
He goes, and here they were arguing about Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara that they were learning. Wow. He was listening to it, and he said his words are still being debated, you know, 1,000 years later. He goes, so, you know, I guess there's so Rabbi. That he said that's the. We don't know the end of the story, if he came from or not. But Rabbi Franz Pshaw, that's Azishitu.
It's still around.
Table, they're still talking, learning his Torah.
The Panovich is Rav's Vart when he went by the... when the Panovich Rav saw the... The Arch of Titus, right? They're done. We're still a Roman. What's Roman today? It's nothing. We're still around. They're nothing. Yeah, let's talk a little bit...
That was David Pollock.
Special feature.
You can have your own Wayu Torah.
It's worth mentioning. We're holding over here now in Adar. So many people throw around a catchphrase. They sing it. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha. So I played a game with my students. I said, if anyone could show me one Rishon who brings it down halacha l'maisa, none of them do. It's a Gemara, not a Megillah. If you want to really mess around with yeshiva guys over Purim, you ask them these types of questions. Where does it say Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha? So every yeshiva guy says, Maseches Megillah. Absolutely incorrect. It's a Maseches Tainis, that's first of all. It's at the end of Maseches Tainis. It says Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha. Then you ask him, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So I had a Talmud tell me, I'm going to find it. He's going through all, I tell him, you consider a whole day. It's not there. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Rambam. It's not in Rush. It's not in Rif. This catchphrase that we all know of and love, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha, it's not anywhere to be found in the standard Paiskim and Rishonim. Which obviously begs the question, why is it not found? The truth is, the earliest time it's found, lahalach, is by the Magen Avraham. It's brought down by the Magen Avraham, it's brought down by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's obviously brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, but again, this is much later, that's 1600s and 1700s. It's been lost since the times of the Gemara. The Gemara says with such certainty, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha, the Gemara seems to be so convinced. How exactly do we understand why the Rishonim all left it out? So there's a famous tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer suggests that it's not true, we don't paskin Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha. Because the Baal HaMemra of that Gemara in Tainis was Rav. Rav happens to hold in Maseches Tainis that we don't just keep the 9 days of Av, we keep the whole Chodesh. Because there's a whole drush that the whole month was bad. So Rav Lushitasi holds that the whole month of Av is bad, so the whole month of Adar is also bad. So Lushitasi.
Good.
But we don't paskin like Rav. We paskin only 9 days. So we don't paskin like Rav for Av, we don't paskin like Rav for Adar. That's why it's not brought down in the Mishainim. That's a Chsam Sefer Shtikol Torah to why it's not brought down. The Nemuki Arachai, the Munkachi Rebbe in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch comes up with a little bit more of a creative pshat. He says, because Mishnech Tis Adar Mar Mishnech is not clear what you're supposed to do. Do what? Smile more, jump, dance.
No tachanun.
No tachanun. So I wrote this on an extra credit question to my Talmidim in 11th grade. I said, how do you fulfill Mishnech Tis Adar Mar Mishnech? One kid wrote drink. I said, I'm sure you'd love to, but no, drinking is not one of them. So the truth is, they asked Chaim Kanievsky, how do you fulfill Mishnech Tis Adar Mar Mishnech? He said, learn more Torah. Says in the pasuk, my students did not want to hear this, but yeah, it says in the pasuk, Torah brings you happiness. So how are you marbe simcha? Learn more. That's it. Simple. But it's not clear how to do it. Therefore, says the Munkach Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch can only bring down halachas that are clear cut. Bishlomin of there's ways to be mamayit. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. So it's clear cut rules. When it comes to the month of Adar, it's not clear. Therefore, says the Munkach Rebbe, because it's not clear how to express it, the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring it down. That's his pshat.
Why do they suggest for the Torah?
No, because the Maisa, once the Magen Avraham brings a halacha, then you got to figure out what the Magen Avraham means. I don't know. There's a Muri Dikas Fasemis.
So that's my kasha.
The Munkach Rebbe. The Gemara has two phrases. It says Mishenich Tis Adar Mar Mishamcha Hilchach Ha Yisrael De Isla Dina Bahadi Akum. If you have a court case with a guy, delay it. So that could be brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not. That's not either brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So that's to me is a tzarich here on the Munkach Rebbe. But there's an unbelievable Sfasemis on the Gemara in Tainis. The Sfasemis learns that the Gemara has nothing to do with Purim. You know why they were happy in the month of Adar? They were happy in the month of Adar because that's when they started to bring the shkolim. They were excited about donating their shkolim for the new karbanos. Can you imagine such a thing? Says the Sfasem is the whole Mishnah Tis Adar has nothing to do with Purim. The entire simchas of Adar had to do with, because as we know that in Adar when they started to collect the money for the new karbanos in Nisan, that brought simcha to Klal Yisrael. That's his understanding. It has nothing to do with Purim. Rashi says it's because of Purim. Says the Sfasem is no, people were so excited to be able to partake in bringing money for the new Karbanos and Beis Hamikdash that brought their Simcha. So maybe I'll be Drusha, maybe I'll be joke, I want to look at it. Maybe that's why it's not brought down Lalacha. If that's the reason, so very nice in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, maybe in the times of the Gemara. But today that's a completely lost art. And maybe because that whole feeling of happiness of donating money is no longer enjoyable, ask anyone who ever has to collect money. So maybe that's why it's not brought down Lalacha. I always thought I'll be real Jewish. The reason why it's not brought down is because it's Pashat. If we really tapped into what Purim was all about, and the fact that we were almost annihilated and destroyed as a nation, no one would have to tell us to be happy. We would feel it naturally. If a person would tell you that you only have 2 weeks to live and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, you now have a whole life to live, you would naturally feel simcha. You wouldn't need someone to tell you, oh, by the way, be happy now. So although the Gemara brings it down, I think the Shulchan Aruch didn't need to bring, because if we really were to tap in to what Purim is all about and appreciate the Yom, we'd feel the simcha naturally. And maybe that's why it's not brought down lahalacha. Okay, I must apologize that after Shai, I just have to run out for a bris. Very rarely do you get a bris on a Sunday morning starting at 10 o'clock, but it works out really well for me because I have a time to get back in time for it, so I apologize. I'm just going to have to leave afterwards. And Mitzvah Shem, next Sunday, we will be having a Sharon in Yonah D'Yoyma. We'll be discussing something Purim related. I'm not sure what yet, but Mitzvah Shem, it should be relevant. It will be a Mitzvah Shem relevant to Purim. A little break from Gittin and what we're learning here. And just for Wednesday night, we're going to be discussing a little bit of Tuesday night, we're going to be discussing a women Mechayiv and Parshas Zachar. You don't want to miss that one. That's always important, whether or not women are really Chayiv and Parshas Zachar. There's a lot of misunderstanding and confusing thrown around about that, Shiloh. We'll try to put that, give it some clarity. But Wednesday night is going to be more interesting. We're going to try to understand the whole mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Understanding who Amalek was, and the relationship, and the attitude that we're supposed to have towards him. It's a very unique mitzvah that we don't find anywhere else, which is basically against all of Jewish ideology. To go around killing, murdering innocent people, babies, women, and children, is not a Jewish ideology. Yet, when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, that's what Hashem demands of us. Not requests of us, but rather demands of us. Very difficult mitzvah to understand. It definitely requires a little bit of background to understand who Amalek is, and obviously how he connects to Haman, and how we understand various villains in our history. Who was Amalek? Who wasn't Amalek? We'll talk a little bit about, was Hitler Amalek? We'll never have a chance to talk about Hitler. We always work our way back into the discussion. So Amir Tashem, we'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday night. Okay. We're holding over here.
Watch your emails.
Check your emails, yes. Check your emails. Okay. So we're holding over here in the Gemara, and Daf Ayin Ches and Gittin. The Gemara makes one statement without any clarification or very little clarification. The Gemara says, Amar of Chizda, get biyado mashicha biyadoi. If a man gives a get to his wife, but there's a string attached to the get, and he pulls the string, if he's able to pull the get back with his pulling of the string, meaning, The way it's situated is he puts the get in her hand. She's holding on to the get. But there's a string attached to the get to the point that he can just pull the string and the whole get flies out of her hands and comes back to him. So the Gemara says, if he's able to do that, then the halach is ain't a megreshes. Then they're not divorced. Vimlav. However, if he's not able to do that, meaning if he's holding on to the string, but the string is not strong enough to be able to pull the get back, meaning if he pulled the fishing rod, but what happened is it would break and the get would stay in her hands, then she's megreshes. That doesn't affect the gerushin. Dr. Gemara, my timer. What's the reason for all of the above? Be'inon krisus velek. We need to have krisus and we don't have it. Very unclear from this Gemara, at least in Gittin, what that means. You need to have krisus from what? That means the husband and wife have to be completely severed, and if since the get is somewhat connected to him because he controls the get, therefore it would sound like it's this chasarin that we know of and discussed many times called Ogud Gabe. He's connected to the get. He can't be connected to the get. He's very connected to the get. He's connected to it because he can actually pull it back.
And what did we say before when we talked about that if he actually is still holding on to it?
Right, so what would happen if he'd give her the get and he's holding on to the other end of the get? That's what we're going to see in the Gemara Bar Metzia. So this Gemara, the simple way of reading this Gemara is Ogud Gabe. But in krisus v'lekha. Now, what does it mean krisus? When the Torah describes gerushin, the Torah says v'nasim b'yada sefer krisus. You should give the wife a sefer krisus, a sefer that divides them. So that pashas that means the book that you're giving them should create a krisus. The Gemara is being mazber, Reb Chisda is being mechadish, that it's not just that the divorce separates them, it's that the get has to also be in a way that they're separated. They can't be connected to the get. They can't own the get together or have equal bailus in the get. And since over here, again, he doesn't own the get. There's no halachic bailus. We'll talk about that today. What happens if the husband retains ownership in the get? That's not this Gemara. He doesn't own it. He's pulling it back. And he's probably doing it shaloi kedin. He doesn't own paper. He's going to... He has the ability to pull it back. If he has the ability to pull it back, says the Gemara, no good. But what are the words of the Gemara? Be'inon krisus v'lek. You need to have a sever, you need to have a complete cut, and you don't have. So pashup shat the Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is, of course, he made a good nesina. When he gave her the get, that's considered a ma'aseh nesina. You could check off a nasa. But there's another din. It's not enough to make of a nasa, and you also have to have a way where there's no connection between him and her and the get. And since they are bound by the get, they're considered bound, and it's no good.
Why is that so
pashup? It's not so pashup, right.
It means that it's a nesina.
Oh, okay. That's what we're going to talk about in a minute.
If he's still holding on to it, why is he still...
So the other way one could have learned this Gemara, and maybe you'll have to learn this Gemara based on the Gemara Bar Metzia, is that when you give a get in a way with a husband can pull it back, you didn't really give it. We call it an Indian giver, right? You can't give something and then take it back. It means you didn't give it. So if I don't know if that's politically correct to say that, but okay. In any case, we'll have to take it out. But, I apologize. In any case, we'll call it a matana maslah haqsa type of thing, which we'll talk about in a second. But when I give the get to the lady in a way that I can take it away from her, so I didn't really give it to her. Yes, we talked about it last week. Yeah, I can also give her the get and run into her house and steal it. Because that's not a chasar nevenasan.
The love of this really is not, it's not, I gave it to her in a way that I could take it away from her, it's whether I even gave it to her.
So the other way of looking at this sugya is when I give something in a way that I can easily take it away from you, I never really gave it to you. That's not called giving it to you. Because it's so easily...
You said even if the string is not strong enough.
No. The Gemara by us, there's Yerushalmi like that, which, I don't know, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it today, but Bavli learns magical words. Yochel enatko levia. Has to be able to pull it back. There's Yerushalmi in the first parak of Gittin that says something like, as long as he's holding on to it, it doesn't matter. Even though he can't pull it back. Which is obviously a little harder to understand.
Right,
because the fact that he has a string connected to it, so what? If he can't pull it back, so why is that connected? Okay, maybe we'll talk about...
Stylus, no?
No, it just means that he's still connected, but the question is to what extent?
His intention, though.
Yeah, again, the assumption of the Gemara is he wants to make a get. He's just still involved. The question is, does his involvement ruin the get? Or to the extent of his involvement? Possibly. One could have learned the Gemara, which I think we're going to have to learn the Gemara, that is this a chasaron in Nesina or is this a chasaron in Ogud Gabe? Nafkamina, like we spoke about last week, let's say he gives her the get with the string, and then 2 minutes later he walks over and cuts the string. So if it wasn't the good Nesina, he has to make another mice in Nesina. If it was the good Nesina, but they were attached, so now when they become, now they're fine.
So they don't have to be sequential, they don't have to be at the same time.
Right, assuming there was the Venosan and all other issues that come up later. Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. We mentioned last week, it's probably a Machloikish Rishonim. The way many learned it was a Machloikish Rishonim.
Question or not, he gives it to her and within a quarter of a second he grabs it back from her.
So we're going to talk about not
like
the so there's a very so there's a taisus that we need to talk about. There's a taisus that talks about. Let's say he gives her the get with her hand is open, and then she closes her hand. So the question is, when he put the get in an open hand, what is that worth? Is that really a nesina because it could fall out, it could drop? Then when she closes it, she's really the one who's making it unable to be taken by anyone else. Is that like tligitach me'agabe karka? Well, we'll have to talk about this in a very very gishmak taisus. Belineda, we'll get to probably in 2 weeks from now.
open to receive the get.
Ah, so we're going to have, no. There's another way to learn the Gemara that you stuff the get into her hand like this.
It's like title transfer. You title transfer, it doesn't matter if you take it back.
Ah, so that's what we need to see today a little bit, how this is all working. Again, obviously there's an underlining question that we need to discuss, which we discussed many times. Is she actually kind of the paper? Does she really, again, if she needs to be kind of the paper, so then this might not be a Maisa Kinyan. If she just needs a transfer of the paper, so maybe this is called a transfer. Right, so that's totally in the choice, but then actually needs a Maisa. Okay, so Blue Nether, we'll try to get to all that. But again,
it also says in the Pasuk, the Chosav was safer. So it sounds like the concern is the fact that it's not here.
Right?
Yet itself has to be, however the rules are, it has to be satisfied.
Yes, yes.
Once I write the creases, there's enough.
So Poshup Shad, the Sefer Creases, is not between them. It's the paper. It's what the paper does. Yeah? 100%? That's part of the Chiddush of Reb Chisda, I think. Okay, so we discussed last time a Gemara in Bar Metzia. We'll talk more about this Gemara when it comes up with the Rambam, but just what's negay for us is we have a Gemara in Bar Metzia Dav Zayin. The Gemara says, Hai Sudra, if you want to create Chalipin, so you have a sheet, use a sheet to create Chalipin. What happens is, if I want to buy something from you, so I'm makhdi you the sheet, you're kind of the sheet, and somehow through that, I'm kind of the thing you're selling. However that works, I think we once discussed Chalipin in length, but that's Chalipin. So the Gemara says, Hai Sudra, keep the Tavas B'Shal Shashalish. If I'm trying to get something from you, so if I give you the sheet and you hold on to it 3x3, three fingers on the sheet, so the Gemara, Kriin Amei V'Nos L'Reyu, that's the fulfillment of the Nos on the Reyu, even though I'm holding on to the other half. So how can you say, I gave it to you, I'm holding on to it? Or, I gave it to you and I can easily pull it back. So how can you say, I gave it to you? Says Gemara, no, that's called Vinasan. Although I can hold it and pull it away and take it away, that's called Vinasan. Why? The commander Pasuk Dami, the way we look at it is if this piece of paper, or the sheet, splits halfway. The part that I'm holding gets cut off, the part you're holding gets cut off, and you're holding what you need to hold, we're good to go. Commander Pasuk Dami, another magic trick that the sheet becomes detached.
And what do you mean you're holding what you need to hold?
Because you need to hold a certain amount of material, and you're holding it. The fact that I'm holding the other half is irrelevant. Even though I could pull the whole thing away, and
even though part of the text is in your,
no, it's a sheet. We're talking about a sudra over here. We're holding a sheet.
Oh, that's what I get.
But in order to get the exchange of that, we have to have this exchange of the sheet. Without that, nothing works. Well, at least we'll see. That's correct, but you at least have to have what the Gemara calls of a nasan v'yeu. It was this a fulfillment of me giving this to you? If I'm holding on to it, I'm giving it to you. Could that really be called giving? Says the Gemara, yes, that's called giving. So right away, the Gemara is a kasha. Right, the Gemara, umayish number of chizda. Why is it any different than our Gemara? The Amar of Chizda, get biyado, mishicha biyadoi. If you give her a get, while holding on to the string, so im yochel not kol leviyat lein migureshes. If you're able to pull back, it's no good, vim lab migureshes. So what do you see from that? So Rashi speaks out. The Gemara's kashas, you see, or at least in the Havamina, that that's not called a giving. Giving in a way where you're holding on to something is not called giving. So why is it called giving for Kenyan Sudr? Says the Gemara, hasam krisas be'inan v'leka. Because over there, by gerishin, you need to have krisas. Hacha nesina be'inan v'hoika. So the way we learned the Gemara last week is that the Gemara is goofa discussing our Gemara. The Gemara was mesupik, how to learn the Gemara in Gittin. It's pshat in the Gemara in Gittin because of an agud gabe problem. Meaning, when I give over the get with holding on to the string, that's for sure a good nice in the Sina. But there's another thing, when it comes to gerishin, you're not allowed to be connected. So the Gemara says you're considered connected, but that was good nice in the Sina. That's one way. The other way to learn the Gemara is it's not a mice in the Sina at all. So when the Gemara answers, hasam krisas, hach in the Sina, the Gemara is goofa explaining our Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is that really, whenever you give over something to another human being, even though you're holding on to it, even though you can pull it back, that's called a nesina. And that's why by Kenyan Soder, it works. So why doesn't it work by Gerishin? Because by Gerishin, there's another problem. It's not just Vinasan, you also have to have Krisus. And since because you're Ogit Gabe, that's why it doesn't work.
Isn't there a difference in the Kenyan Soder and the Get? Because the Kenyan Soder is sort of standing in the place of the actual item that's being transferred.
Okay,
it's
good.
Not the object that's being
okay.
Transferred.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk that in 1 minute. We'll see if that makes a difference. But just
Why did the Gemara use a case of Kenyan Soder? Anything else.
You're mechavin to Reb Nachum. Reb Nachum asks this question. We'll see in 2 minutes. Nachum Patovich. Some people in this room are zoich to learn by Reb Nachum, right? Okay, at least one person. Reb Nachum. Reb Nachum Patovich was the son-in-law of Chaim Shmulevitz. We just quoted him earlier, and his son-in-law is today one of the biggest Magid Yeshurim in the world. Abash Ariely probably has the most people in any share or listen to his shurim in the mir. So Reb Nachum, we'll blend that to get to his ha'ar in a second. 2 hours that we have from him, both are not on Gittin, they're both on his Svarim Abba Metzia. It's his son-in-law. Abash Ariely is Reb Nachum's son-in-law.
And by the way, I sat 2 seats away from him by Reb Nachum. You see what 2 seats could do for you. Okay, I'm up here. Look where he is.
What?
He hasn't gotten over that.
I know. He gives share to 600
He's
people.
He's still saying he
here.
Would have been so much bigger if he hadn't been next to
600, he could add 6,000. Okay. So, So the takeaway from this Gemara is, the way we learned the Gemara last week, is that the Gemara in Bar Metzia is clarifying to us how to learn the Gemara in Gittin. Reb Nachum didn't learn the Gemara this way. Clearly not. Because Reb Nachum in number 2b is bothered with a kasha. For Reb Nachum, he says, Imamish doesn't understand what the Gemara in Bar Metzia was thinking. Ask Reb Nachum, once you learn Gittin, and you understand how get biyadim sheikh biyadim works, so why could the Gemara even have a havmi to ask him Bar Metzia from that Gemara? He mamish doesn't even understand the Gemara. He says in the 2b, he writes, Omnam tzarchin, the begitin ka amar revchizda lehedja da tam shabiyachla natke in mugareshes, humisham divin increases v'leka. Says, you read the Gemara in Gittin, it's clear, the Gemara is telling you that the issue is not the nesina, the issue is the krisos. So, Frank Dumnachem, once you finish with that, what was the Gemara even thinking to ask a kash and bab metziah from this to Kinyan Sudr? Kinyan Sudr is all about nesina, gerushin is about agat gabay. What was the Gemara even thinking? And it leaves off tzarachin.
And it's actually a raya from the Gemara in Gittin, because if the Gemara in Gittin says it's a Nesina, then the Kinyan Sudr should also be Nesina.
Right, that's the Gemara's Kasha, but his problem is that, again, I'm not sure which Masechta came first, but if you learned Gittin first, and once you learned Gittin Daf Ayin Ches, and you understood that the Pshat of Chizda's Din is because, not because it's not a Nesina, but because it's a Gerushin issue, so the Gemara in Bar Metzia should never have a question. Now, this is not the way we learned the Gemara last week. We learned the Gemara last week that even after finishing our Gemara, and you see those words, be'in increases v'leka, you still could learn that means the ma'is and the sina. Clearly, Reb Nachum didn't learn like us. Because Reb Nachum would have learned the way we learned the Gemara last week, he has no kasha. We said last week that even if you read these three words, be'in increases v'leka, that doesn't necessarily have to mean it's a chasar and agad gabe. We came up with that it can mean it's a creative ma'is, a chasar and a ma'is and the sina. You need a different type in the scene, right? So if Reb Nachum would have learned the Gemara this way, his kasha obviously has no kasha. So he leaves with tzarachin. I'm not even sure why he doesn't discuss our possibility to learn the sugya. He clearly didn't learn like us, so therefore he has a taka and shtaka kasha.
It still be a kasha because it's still this is a different type of nesina, even though it's a subcategory of the nesina, but it's something that's unique to Gittin. So only in Gittin do we require a nesina. That is also layered in
okay.
Thing called krisis. Nowhere else in the Torah do we need that. So over here, this is a simple nesina.
Could be. Could be the nasan ish l're'eyu is a simple nesina, not an extra required. Could be. But again, I'm not sure how you ask these types of kashas from one gemara to another. Which gemara came first? I'm not sure how that works. But pashut pshat, the way we learned the gemara, if I care, the gemara in Bar Metzia was a big eye opener for us. Because when we saw the gemara in Gittin, we weren't clear what the gemara meant. When we learned Bar Metzia, now we understood the gemara. So we learned these two gemaras together. But clearly, Reb Nachum didn't think like that.
But you can't give a get.
No, definitely not.
Definitely.
For sure not. No. Now, so the other kasha that Nachum has, which people were ma'ayra to, in number 4, v'yesh l'ayim. Amai ka'amar rev misharshori ha'chidusha besuda dafka. Frekt of Nachum, why in Bab Metzia, if you want to bring out this unbelievable chiddush of giving someone something where you're still holding on to part of it, dafka by a suda, why specifically by a sheet when making kinyach halipin? Ha'ikar ha'chidush lo yav ha'chidush b'din esuda. It's not a halipin chiddush. Elo b'dini kinyonim. It's really a lomnis in kinyanim. The hamoicher zacha b'miktsas asuder that the buyer gets part of the sheet umemela nikna hamekel hakech, and by owning part of the sheet he's able to be makna all the money or whatever he's giving in place of it. V'havli lashmeinu lahachidush b'chol hakinyanim. For example, Nachum, you could talk to us about any kinyan. I want to give you a piece of paper. So instead of me giving you the whole piece, I give you half a piece of paper and I hold on to the other half. So the Gemara could have said, there's a chiddush over there, even though I'm holding on to half the piece of paper. And you're holding on to half the piece of the paper, but since you're holding on to enough, we split the paper in you know, imaginary split, and it works. Why specifically a sudr? It's not a sudr, it's really any time. In the lumness of kinyanim, there's a chiddush over here, that I'm holding on to something, and you're holding on to something, and I am giving it to you, you can still retain ownership.
I thought this or this point of needing to be holding on to a certain amount is specific to the suitor.
Fine, so let's talk about a regular thing. Let's say I want to be kind of, so he says,
I have to hold on to it depends on the time.
So that's what he says. V'havli l'ashmein b'chol hakinyonim k'goy mishicha a yad. Let's say we're talking about kinyon mishicha, so I have to pull it. So I pull off it and you're pulling the other side. So I pulled a significant amount and you hold on. Or yad, it's in my hand. Well, half it's in my hand and half it's by you. So if I gift you something like this while I hold on to half and you hold on to half, so we have to know, is this considered a kinyon or not? So if we say command the pasuk means we split the tissue box, the half that I'm holding is whatever. So why didn't the Gemara discuss it? That's Reb Nachum's kasha. So he answers, and this is also a little bit of a tzarachim by me. He writes, Ulechayra hayinir lomud mizah. Says, you see from the Gemara, we're going to see an unbelievable chiddush. The b'chol ha'kinyonim pshit olam de mahani ma'isa kinyon al miktas ha'chefetz. If you want to buy an object, you don't have to make a ma'isa kinyon on the entire object. It's sufficient to make a ma'isa kinyon on part of the object. B'chol chiddush ha'dir v'mishashoy hu rak l'inyin sudr. If Nachum thinks of a davar pashut, if I want to sell you this table, you don't have to make a ma'isa kinyon on the whole table. You don't have to lift up the whole table. You lift a part of the table, it's good. You don't need to make a kinyan on the whole thing. A partial kinyan on the object gives you the whole bailus.
No, but the other person is still holding
One second, let's finish the piece, we'll see. They say, so what's the chiddush of a sudr? Sudr is unique. Why? Time the milsi, yeshlem the b'chol ha-kinyonim sagi b'zeh. Why is it by Allah the kinyonim only parts enough? She miktas achiv is zichnas v'shus lekech. V'lo ichvas lon shahamak digam kinoi chizbon. Says Reb Nochum, when it comes to buying and selling objects, I don't care that I'm holding onto half the box of tissue and you're holding onto the other half. Once half of the box of tissues went into your hand, that's good enough. We'll have to talk about that in a second. Masha inkin besudr dechsev by v'nosan re'eu boi nesina. Sudr is unique. The Torah says the word giving. Therefore, b'zeh hava amina duchol heicha shamoicher dain oiches bechefetz ein kanesina ma'alyasa. I would have thought that when you want to talk about giving, that's not called giving. Giving doesn't mean in a way where I'm still holding on to it, or I could pull it back. That's not giving. So when the requirement is giving, so this doesn't work. When you don't need giving, you just need transfer of ownership, this for sure would be good enough. That's why the Gemara wrote the Chiddush specifically by a Kinyan Sudah, where the Torah writes Vinasa, and to teach me this is also called Vinasa. Now, I don't know exactly what Reb Nachum meant by Kinyan, and this would be good enough. I'm not sure why.
If part of it is also Kinyan.
Right, but it's a Kinyan where the definition of it is Vinasa. He wants to say, if I want to give you a box of tissues, as long as we transfer that part of the tissues are in your hand, you'll know I'm holding on to the other, there was called achnosis l'rishusay. Now that's true. Kinyonim work with the fact that it now is in your rishus. But I would have argued that the fact that it's still in my rishus is also a chassar in kinyon.
That's not the object that you're transferring.
No, no, by a regular kinyan, by regular kinyan. I would have argued not like that. By where? That's what I would have thought, right? He's assuming not like this with Nachum.
It's a different type of kinyan. What's kinyan, right? You have the Maisa kinyan and you have the Gemira's Das.
Yes.
So the case of the table, right? So when I'm pulling on the table, even though you're still holding on to it, it's clear there's a meeting of the mind. I'm pulling on the table, it's mine. Even if you're still holding on to some of it, I still look at it as if it's mine. But by Chalipin,
you're right.
There's no Maisa kinyan here. It's all about Gemira's Das.
No, there is a Maisa kinyan on the Sudr.
No, but not a Maisa kinyan on the object.
Yeah, but we're dining on the Sudr now.
It's representative.
True, but at the end of it.
So once you say it's representative, it's magic. It is a magic.
Well, but again, it still has to fit. Meaning, it's only going to work if the meicher is actually kind of the sudra. If the meicher is not kind of the sudra, the trick never starts.
Right. We're, so the problem is, you would think that you need a complete, just like by Gerish, you need a complete nesina. By a chalipin, also you think is you need a complete nesina, as opposed to say the table where an incomplete nesina is still fine because you have the maisa and the kinyan.
But my argument to that is that part of the maisa kinyan needs to be hachnosis l'rishusoy and hoitzam l'rishusi.
That doesn't apply.
No, but it does apply by regular kinyan. By regular maisa kinyan, I would have assumed you need both elements. It's not just enough to go into your rishos; it has to leave my rishos. So if this is still in my rishos, how does it help to go into your rishos? Nachum's words are
still in your rishos.
Yeah, he says.
What about making a kinyan? I'm in your house or I'm in your store.
Right.
You own it.
Right.
And I want to make a kinyan on it. It's in your rishos, so I pick it up. I'm still not removing it from your rishos.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good aura.
So it doesn't
such a case like that.
So that kinyan doesn't.
So you wouldn't.
So
it would depend on the kinyan. You would not be allowed to make mashicha in that case. 100%. You'd have to use a different type of kinyan because mashicha, the alumnus of the kinyan is transfer of rishos, and you don't have to transfer. 100% right. No, you'd have to do a different type of kinyan, whether it be
personal property, and you guess not a kinyan because you're standing in the store. You can't.
Well, if you so that's I think a shiloh. I think the Gemara has a question. You'd be able to do hakbah. You wouldn't be able to do mashicha. You'd have to use the right kinyan. I'm not disagreeing. There's certain kinyanim that would work, certain that would not work. Some kinyanim that are rishus based would not work. If the idea of the kinyan is I brought into my rishus, this is not called my rishus. It's my yad, so it's a different kinyan. But it depends on the kinyan. Yeah, your rishus is not my rishus. I can't use that. So again, but this I thought was an interesting chiddush.
Is momekel.
No, he's saying that Kinyan Sudr is more the Navi. I shouldn't say the Torah. The Navi is more detailed on how to do it. There it says the word Vinasan. So the Navi is giving us direct definition of how to do this. Vinasan means giving. This is not called giving if I'm holding on to the other end.
Right. No, but
a regular Kinyan,
three fingers on it.
Right.
So it works.
That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that's called Vinasan.
So it's more makel. It's easier to
correct
effectuate the transfer by using a Sudr.
But correct, because the Chiddush...
In a regular Matana, if I'm still holding on to it, and you're still holding on
to it... No, but he says for Davar Pashat, in a regular Matana, that for sure would be good. No question.
But how do you get away with the fact that the Mofer is still holding on
to it? I'm with you. Reb Nachum understood, for some reason, the fact that... the fact that
the meeting in the morning,
it makes sense because the actual object that's being transferred.
Correct.
It's not a sitter, it's a tissue.
It's a table, right?
You don't see
so normally, I don't have a right to put my hands on it at all. It's yours.
But if the way the kinyan works is a transfer of possession,
so
this is not a transfer.
You're allowing me to put my hands on it.
True.
So my tana. But if I'm holding on to it, I'm really being. I'm not really giving it to you. I still want.
The way I would look at it is if the kinyan works with the transfer of ownership. I would have argued that the transfer of ownership has to be transferred in a way that I'm no longer involved. Here, you're involved and I'm involved. So you could argue, I think it's a fair argument, that the mere fact that I allow you into this situation, I allow you to have rights to this as opposed to being...
I don't let go of it.
Right, right. Meaning,
I still want it.
But you get some rights.
Not sure. I'm giving you some...
Yeah, because why else
that's my problem. I don't understand exactly how Reb Nachum understood. But okay, as I said to Nachum,
it's been understood. Yeah. Just think if he had sat next to you, this whole thing would be clear.
Huh? Yes. Right.
So there's Devarim with some sort of, like you said earlier, symbolic transfer. I don't need to go ahead and shift it over. We made our
but if you don't buy that kinyan is just for him to become your shliach. Uh-huh. But if I want to do kinyan sudah, if I want to do real chalipin, I have to own the sheet in order to give you that. That's the way it works. The mechanism is, if I own the sheet, I gift you my whatever I'm giving you. So I got to own the sheet. What means to own a sheet? That's what we're discussing. Just very big kids, if you look at the bottom Rashi, the last Rashi in Bamitzi, Krisis. So yesterday I looked back at my notes when I learned Bamitzi in Yeshiva many years ago. So my Rebbe then, who was one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Yeshiva, Shalom Spitz, he made an interesting dig from the bottom Rashi. He's medayik from the Rashi, Krisis, Havdolo sheyu muvdolim ze mize, very agudim heim b'chod ze. Rashi clearly is learning the pasha that it's not about a chasar and a nesina. Rashi's learning that the reason why this doesn't work is not because it's a chasar and a nesina. Rashi's learning it's because we're connected by the hip. So when we talk about this chakira of is pshat in the Gemara because it's not of a nasan or because it is of a nasan, just to argue, Rashi is very clear that the pshat is that avada was a good nesina, just that we're connected because of this, and that's why it's no good. I don't know why.
Selling our chametz to the rabbi.
No, we're not. No, you're not. Absolutely not. You can't sell your chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is also not allowed to have chametz on Pesach.
No,
you're making him an agent. You're making him just an agent. The whole kinyan is just to make sure it happens. To make sure. You make. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. Because we're not sure he's going to do it. That's part of the issue. That's why I give him money also. You make him a worker for you. Yeah, he's a vada. He's only acting as an agent for you. He does not buy your chametz. He's an agent to sell. He works for you as an agent. He now has the rights to sell your chametz. We discussed many times. Let's say...
Like, for example, to say to be a makabo, to be a kaddish, yeah, and yeah. That kind of a sudden. Yeah. I can't appoint you and say, do me a favor, be a kaddish lady for me, without having...
You could, but we're always afraid that they're... By at least for something like chametz, we're afraid that maybe you just won't do it. So that's why they talk about it. If you're the rabbi of the shul... Well, now it's bound. Now you're bound. That's a ma'aseh kinyan. I was in the kabbalah upon myself to become your agent. That's why they give money. One of the reasons why they give money is so now you're working for me.
Would you give money afterwards? After he's gone?
Right. No, the Gemara says that if you're my worker, I can assume you did it for me. The argument is, let's say this is the rabbi's job and part of his salary comes to this, so he's got to do it because if not, he's not doing his job. That's the argument that later Achrenim make. If, let's say...
We don't have to give him money.
That I'm definitely not going to say, but...
Shut the
I get myself into big trouble. Me'ikar adin, if it's the rabbi's job to sell the chametz, you don't really need to give him money. No, that's really the truth. You don't have to give him money because he's your payal automatically. He's by being the rabbi of the shul and one of getting paid, his jobs are to sell chametz. So you don't have to worry he's not going to do it, as opposed to a rebbe, you know, in a shtibel somewhere. Me'ikar adin, you don't need it. Me'ikar adin, you don't need the kinyan. We try to do it as best. Me'ikar adin, if you can't, you can even do it over the phone, maybe. It gets.
A lot of places have it. Go online.
Yeah. Me'ikar adin probably works. But chum the chametz are probably going to be more
money. Sell it for people's apartments and other places.
That's right.
They'll do a kinyan with them.
Usually not. They make it over the phone, they make the kinyan. Okay, so let's talk about another Gishmaka case of Ogad Gabe. Once we opened up the floodgates to Ogad Gabe, we're now going to discuss other areas where this Shaila maybe comes up. There's another Gemara in number 5. A Gemara in Daf Chaf. The Gemara says like this: Tana Rabbanan, Harei the Gitach Vaniyor Shali. The husband says to his wife, "Here's a get, but I want to retain ownership of the paper. The actual paper, I want to own onto the paper. Here's the get, but the paper belongs to me. Very strange phenomenon, but I want to own the paper." Says the Gemara, "Ainu Mugareshes. The get's no good." Now the Gemara doesn't tell us why. No reason. So, statement: the get's no good. Says the Gemara, "Amanasha Tachzirili." Let's say he says, you know what, I'm going to give you the paper, but I'm not, you have to give it back to me. I want to save it, I want to frame it, whatever it is, I want it back. That's okay. That's a matana amanas lahasir. That works. Fine. Let's say the guy says to her, you know what, I'm going to give you the paper, but I want all the parts of the paper that have nothing written on it. between the letters, between the words, all the open paper, that's still mine. Interesting guy. So what is the Gemara answer to this one? The Gemara answers to this one, teiku. I said, I just don't know what the halach is. So what do we have? So we have three different scenarios in this Gemara. One case is where the husband retains complete ownership of the piece of paper. That's for sure no good. When the owner, the husband gives to her requesting a tanai, he gets it back. That's for sure good. And then we have this middle ground where he owns part of, but it's unique, as we'll see in the Rishonim. What part of the paper did he decide to keep for himself? He could have talked about at the top of the paper where there's no words, the side of the paper where there's no words, under it where there's no words. He picked the part that's essential for the get. He picked the part of the paper that's between the words, where you can't really have a get without those parts of the paper. Meaning, technically, you can have a get, and you'll cut off the bottom, you'll cut off the top, and all the parts that are not necessary, and you'll have just the exact words. Here, he decided that he wants the part of the get that's between the letters and between the words. That's what he wants to keep. To that, the Gemara says, teiku. So the question is, what's the chasaran in Niyarshali, and what's the teiku with the other ones? That's what needs a lot of explanation in this Gemara. So Rashi, number 6, learns the Gemara. V'aniyar, Rashi, what's going on over here? He says, kol haniyar ani ma'akulatmi. I want to keep all the paper. Okay? Why? The kivan dahaniyar shaloi, since he owns the paper, loy nasan lo klum. He didn't give her anything. The nimtza oisiyis poirachas ba'av. The letters fly in the air.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. These are some very troubling words to me. Nimtza oisiyis poirachas ba'av. The words fly in the air. What does Rashi mean? So Pashup Shad and Rashi, without getting too much, Rashi means that part of what a get is the letters. You can't give letters without paper. A get is made up of papers on a letter. So if you're going to give her just the letters, you're not giving her a get. Because Nimtza Oisiyis Poirachas, the letters have nowhere to go.
Like
you can't just... It's like what?
It's like Samira.
Exactly, it's nothing. The way a get is supposed to look is its letters, its words on a paper. So if you're going to give her the letters without the paper, so again, it's not Ogud Gabe, it's not Nasan. It's not Nasan, right? Rashi says. The kibbutz and loy nasan, you didn't give her anything. I gave her letters. You can't give letters. Letters aren't transferable. You got to give her something that we can look at.
Yeah,
so,
but according to Rashi, if it's because of the nasan, you did actually write it and you did give it to her.
What did you give her?
You retained ownership.
That's not called giving. Oh, we'll have to talk about that.
Who says she has to own the paper?
Oh, okay. Right. So this Gemara is a very big problem according to the Ketzais. Frank the Stipler, if you hold like the Ketzais, she never needs to be carrying the paper. So what's the problem over here? Why is this any worse than a Serena? So what's the answer? The answer is, it has to be a Vinasan. I had to give something to her. If I give you a piece of paper that's a Suriyano, I gave it to you, you can't be credited. But if I gave you something that's nothing, what did I give you? I gave you my paper. I, in essence, gave you my piece of paper. The fact that the letters are yours, that's not an asina on the letters, because Rashi says, and on the paper, it's my paper. So there was no v'nasan. And Achanami says this type below. You don't need a kinyan, but you need an asina. What did I give you over here? So according to Rashi, the chasaron over here is not ogad gabe. It's not that we're attached. It's that I never gave you anything. For the same price, I could write up a beautiful get and throw it into my neighbor's backyard. That's also not a good get. Not because we're still connected, because I never gave you a get. Rashi learns, when I give you a get, when I retain ownership of the paper, I didn't give you a get. Now, there's only one problem.
That's a safer croesus, right? So it has to be the safer.
It has to be a safer. It has to be something.
But I get on a bar piece of paper. I borrow from you a piece of paper and said, you know, Rabbi, please give me a little
That might be a problem. That might be a problem. That would be a problem. That's right, it would be a problem. Now, we'll have to talk a little bit more about that, but that might be a problem. The only problem with Rashi is, as we'll see if Salvation points this out, so how do you learn the next line of the Gemara? Ben shita l'shita ben teva l'teva. What's the problem there? Again, if the problem is Oisis Perechas Ba'avir, so I'm not touching the letters. The letters are all yours.
The letters have parchment under them, right?
No. I'm taking the part that has no letters.
I'm saying there should be
no problem.
Good,
right. So Frecht Achroinim, the stipler of Salvechik, if you learn like Rashi, how do you read the next line of the Gemara? What's the grace of Shaila? Boy, your papa. What's the problem? You're not touching any words. There's no Oisis Perechas Ba'avir. Everything should be safe. Okay, we'll have to talk about that in a minute.
No, but the words don't form a letter. The letters don't form words. They're broken up. They're all separated.
No. What's
that? He's taking the paper.
Okay, so let's see. We'll see. Hold on. Let's see.
In other words, if you literally cut out all the things and just threw a bunch of letters, you'd have to put them together.
Okay, so let's see.
It's like a puzzle.
Okay, it's a puzzle.
Okay. We'll see. Let's see. That's Rashi. The Rambam, again, so right now this Gemara has nothing to do with our Gemara, I just brought this in for fun. Okay. The Rambam in number 7, everyone has their own fun for Purim. That's the famous Maisim with Reb Chaim, or Biskarov. They once asked him to say Purim Torah, so he gave a whole 20-minute shiur about a Rambam. So he said, Rebbe, where's the Purim Torah? He said, because I made up the Rambam. That's the Purim Torah. That's Emes of Purim Torah. You make up something. Okay. Fine. So the Rambam writes, this Rambam is not made up. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Geirushin Perek Ches. Look the Rambam. Hareze gitach vaniyoshali. He quotes our Gemara. You give the isha the paper, and you say, you give her the get, you say, the paper's mine. Ein megureshes. Why is it Rashi? She ain ze krisus. Ah. Now it's talking our lingo over here. So the Rambam, it's not a krisus. So what does this simply mean? It means like our Gemara, that we're connected. I'm giving you something that I own. I own part of the get. So if I own part of the get, so we're not severed. Just like if I hold on to the get, we're not severed. If I give you a get where I'm a part owner of the get, we're also not severed.
Why are you only a part owner? If you own the paper,
you're even more than that, right?
Because you can't compare it to holding on to it.
Why?
Because that is partial ownership of that physical document. As opposed to owning the get, because I own the whole paper.
So it's even worse than I'm
giving
up.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what I want is these three words in Rambam. She'ein zeh krisus. The Rambam is saying the reason why this doesn't work is not like Rashi, because oisius parachas ba'ave, the letters are flying in the air. That's not the pshat. The pshat is because I gave you something that I'm part, that I own. So if I give you something that I own, so this get is part mine. So zeh krisus means that I can't be connected to the get. I'm very connected, I own it. You can't get more connected than that. So it's lacking in krisus. It's not, we'll call it, it's ugly to get. We're still bound by the get because I own it. That binds us, therefore it's not a good get. No, because by Amanas Lahachzir.
No, but there's still not total krisus because
of the time that you own it. Right, so we know that Matana Amanas Lahachzir Shmo Matana. So for the duration, that was completely yours. However, that works.
No, but why is there can be a time limit?
Apparently, that's enough to say, right, just like we said, if I eventually cut the string, that's also okay. As long as there's a time where we're severed or we're not connected.
But this is the reverse.
Right.
The string,
there was a time
when. Right. Okay. This is
because at a time when the get was given, we were severed. We were severed. The fact what happens later is irrelevant.
Why do you have to. If I guess Rashi says that it's because Osias Barachas Ba'avir, so there's no value to. You know, the words are just smoke.
Right.
So the only thing that has any value, the only thing you can own, is the paper. So why do you have to read the Rambam that it's not a sefer krisus because he's still holding on? There is. He owns it 100%. In other words, it was, you could argue there's no nesina either at that point.
So the question is, why did each rishon learn the way they did? That's what we need to talk about. Why did Rashi learn his way, and why did the Rambam learn his way? Or why didn't they agree to each other at some point? It seems like each rishon, we'll see in a second that some rishonim actually put the two together. The Ritva learns both pshatim. Rashi and the Rambam puts it all together. Why did Rashi learn this pshat of Oisius Parechas Ba'aver and not learn like the Rambam? And if I would have came across this Gemara, I would have assumed that if the husband's retaining ownership in the paper, that would be a big breach in krisus, like the Rambam says. I don't know if I'd get so long to start talking about Oisius Parechas Ba'aver.
It's a good nesina, the Rambam's saying. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to come out the no saber krisus.
I would have assumed.
That's the next step.
I would have assumed.
Well, how does Rambam understand what means a krisus?
You have to differentiate between the two cases of the Gemara.
So, it depends. Again, we're assuming, in our salvation crisis explicitly, that Ein Zeh Krisus of the Rambam is Argumar and Dafayin Ches. But we don't know how to learn Argumar and Dafayin Ches. So we're kind of not helping us so much. Again, the Rambam says Ein Zeh Krisus. So the simple way of reading the Rambam, I would have assumed, is like the Gemara said best, Krisus Veleka. What does Krisus mean? The simple way I learned the Gemara was, okay, we're attached. You can't be more attached than owning ownership of the get. That's attached on the highest level. So I would have learned the Rambam very simple. That when you give her a get,
But that's
what Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said, if I give you a get in a way where I'm holding, where I have the string, that's a breach in the krisus.
So she doesn't need, you don't have to own it.
That's true. So the way the stipler is going to learn it, he'll say you still have to make a giving to her. This is the big question: is the point that I didn't give it to her that she doesn't own it, or that I never gave it to her? What's the pinpoint issue over here? Is it because it's not hers, or is it because I never gave it? Whether or not she owns it is irrelevant, but it has to be that I gave it to her. Is this called giving? If I give you a paper that's mine, did I give you something? You don't have to own it. Fine. But can you say that I took a piece of paper that's mine 100% and I give it to you and say, I gave it to you? What's giving if it's yours? That's the argument. That's where one could argue. So that maybe you could argue and say, well, although I made an asinas han yar, I gave you a piece of paper, but because you can't own the paper because it's mine, it's not an asina. It's not an asina.
That'll be Rashi.
That's what you say for Rashi.
The Rambam seems to be saying that it is a good nesina.
It sounds like from the Rambam would be a good nesina. The problem would be that we're still attached. Now, if you look in the Ritva and Daf Chaf, he brings the two pshatim together. He writes, "Why is it no good? Shaharein sheyor begufoy shall get mamish because you there's a missing part of the get. Vafidu b'makim oisius the ainz krisus. We're not separated." The second reason, Shukilo Hoisius Parachas Bavar. The Ritva brings down both, Rashi and the Rambam. So the question is why? Why do you need to bring down both? They pick sides and say one. So the truth is because, as the stipler points out, that you have a major problem over here. You can't learn the Gemara just like Rashi. If you're going to learn the Gemara just like Rashi, what do you do with Bein Shita L'Shita, Bein Teva L'Teva? So for this reason, says the Stipler, the Ritva knew this was going to happen. He knew that there was an issue later on of how to learn the next line, so he went with both Pshatim. Meaning, you have to take both Cheshbonis into consideration. What about Oisis Parachas Ba'avir? And once you took that problem, it's not a problem because it's Bein Shita L'Shita, then you have a problem of Krisis. And the Gemara Suffolk is how to understand Krisis in a case where it's Bein Shita L'Shita, Bein Teva L'Teva, which we'll see in a minute. The Salvatic points out this Kasha.
If you're earnest like the Rambam, you just pick the Rambam and then... Oh,
okay, good. Yeah, we'll get to that right now. So if Salvatic... That's why, well, yeah, we're going to see in a second how the Ritva learned the Teku. But the Rambam, as you noted, if you saw, he didn't bring down the Tekus. The Rambam didn't bring down the Tekus. Why did the Rambam leave out the Tekus? The answer might not be negay according to the Rambam. We'll see in a second why. Says Rav Salvechik, Umiyat, number 9. This is Shuiyeh Rabban Daf Chof. Says Rav Salvechik, Umiyat, Lepirish, Rambam, Nicho, Sheel, Sai Gemara. Bishlom, if you don't like the Rambam, then the next line of the Gemara is beautiful. Beishit, Lishit, Amai, what's the Shaila? Shigamze, Doim, Leget, Biyodo, Umashicha, Biyodo. That's also similar to a case. Although he's not owning on to the words of the get, but the husband is involved in the get, even though it's not, we'll call it, not the integral part of the get, but he's owning onto the piece of paper, his ownership onto the piece of paper can potentially create an Algat Gabe. So I understand the Gemara Shaila. But says of Salvechik, El Achle Rashi Tzarechin. There's no reason to think that those letters that are not, that part that's not owned by the husband shouldn't create a problem with Perechas Bavir. So it says of Salvechik, Venira, you have to relearn Rashi. Shele Rashi, Sheilos HaGemar Ben Shita L'Shita Mai, Mitam Acher. According to Rashi, there's two steps in the Gemara. First, the Gemara made a statement about because Isis Perechas Bavir. Then the Boyer of Papa is a new piece of Gemara. The new lumdus. What's the new lumdus? It's a new shayla. The ainu mitamar is yigidich v'nar shali ubira shayla. So what was the suffix of Rav Papa? Who shirashi sava sheniyar haged poyel tziruf haksav l'sfiris hadvarim daget. Rashi holds that what the get, the paper does, it combines the words with the paper to become what we call a get. What is a get? What's a sefer krisus? It's words with paper combined to become a get. So the way Rashi learned the second Shaila of the Gemara is a lumdus Shaila. What do you need to do to make this thing into a get? What magic do you need to do, or what two steps are required to turn a blank piece of paper and words into a get? You have to have paper and words. So the question is, how much of that do you need? Can I say that even though I held back my sheet to my table, I'm still giving over a paper with words? Or no? The fact that you're still retaining some of the ownership of the paper, that's a breach in putting this all together as one.
What if she owned something of his that was in her possession and gave a regular gift? Is that not a
good? I want to get to that in a second. We'll get to that in 1 second, I hope. So according to Rav Salvechik, it's a whole new Gemara. It's that Rashi is changing. The first piece of the Gemara is one cheshbon, the next piece of Gemara is a whole new cheshbon. The Ritva in number 10, Lishitasek. Again, we mentioned earlier, the Ritva brings down both pshatim. Why? So you look in the Ritva, the next piece of Gemara, he explains. Pirish. The Amri la hareza gitach, the aniyar shebein shita l'shita, shebein teva l'teva shali. Tahash, says the Ritva, eini oisis perechas. You have no problem of the letters flying, the holeshayim makam oisis. I never touched the places wherever there's letters, I'm not involved. So v'salku b'teku. What's, and the Gemara ends off teku. Says the Ritva, umedikaboyi. Says Rav Papa, why did Rav Papa only talk about the case of the letter, the word, the paper between the words? Why did he talk about the paper on top, the paper on bottom, on the margins? There's a lot of parts of a get that are not written. Why was it not written? Says the Ritva, that's Pashut. That would have been a bigger chiddush. Mashma de mishayir having mugareshes. Says there's that pashut. If it would be where there's no letters at all, that for sure would be good. Why? Kivin shloishayir klum begufei shall get. Because there'd be no connection in the actual part, the body of the get. Obviously, a get is made up of words and letters, letters and paper. So the margins are obviously necessary to become a piece of paper, but they're not really relevant to the actual get. Says Reb David Pavarsky, what do you see from this ritva? The Ritva was learning that the chesaron is connection. Now you have to ask yourself, what's the level of connection? One could have argued, if I give her a piece of paper and I own this side of the paper and this side of the paper, that's considered connected. We're connected. We're connected by this get. I own 3/4 of this piece of paper. Yet the Ritva says, without a doubt, that's okay. Why?
Because it's separated and it's not a problem.
Only the part that affects the
crucifix. So speaks out of David. You see him over here, when we talk about being connected, we spoke about this last week. Why don't you say that, let's say, for example, the Isha owes me money, and I'm going to go collect the chai from her. We're connected because I'm always going to come back to get my money. That's what we call it, study is the connection. That's a side connection. So the chiddush over here is that even on the piece of paper that's creating the get, that's called side. Because since it's not the part of the paper that's necessary for the actual chaliz gerushin, we call that side. I think that's a chiddush, but that's what the Ritz is saying. The way Rav Pivarsky wants to be masbir, he wants to say that's comparable to a case of where she owes me money. And that's a big jump. She owes me money is extremely studious. Here we're talking about the actual piece of paper, the get. We're not going to start chopping up the get. This is the get. I'm giving it to her. I own 3/4 of the piece of paper. It just happens to be I don't own the part that's relevant for the get. So he's saying that that's ki'ilu me. It's studious.
It's framed, and you say, but I own the frame.
Right. Okay, so therefore, the zokta ritva, that's called studious side connections. That's not a problem. So therefore, that's pshat the ritva. The ritva learned that it's about being connected. So when we're being connected in a part that is goof for the get, that's too much connection. As opposed to on the side of the margin, that would be okay. So this is the ritva l'shitasik. Since the ritva learned both pshatim, why did the ritva learn both pshatim? Speaks out the stipler because the ritva knew that ben shita l'shita doesn't make any sense in Rashi. So he learned both pshatim, and he's saying us a big chiddush that this is considered not connected, but only being a studious dikka connection. Okay, next time we'll have to talk more about this, about how to understand what's considered connected vis-a-vis the get.